Over the weekend, a new poll in the Des Moines Register shows Barack Obama the choice of 28% of Iowa Democrats likely to attend next month's caucuses. That's up 6 points in the last month. And that puts him ahead in that poll for the first time against Hillary Clinton. Analysts say a key turning point in Obama's campaign was 3 weeks ago when the six major candidates spoke at the Iowa Democratic Party's traditional Jefferson Jackson dinner before 9,000 Democrats. That's when he delivered a speech so compelling that reportedly supporters for some of the other candidates jumped to their feet and cheered on Obama. Part of his appeal has been that he can break the partisan divide in this country. Journalist Ron Brownstein's new book, The Second Civil War, How Extreme Partisanship Has Paralyzed Washington and Polarized America, deals with that partisan divide. WMNF spoke with Brownstein last week and asked him if breaking the partisan divide is Obama's ticket to success.
Well, I do think that when you look at America today, obviously we have our differences. We have our differences about Iraq, we have our differences about social issues, the role of government, but it's very difficult, I think, to argue that the country is more divided than it has been at other times in our history. The 1960s, the 1890s, much less the 1860s. What's unusual today is that the political system is more divided than the country. It accentuates our differences rather than bridging them. And I do think you see an exhaustion among the American people with this style of intensely partisan, highly polarized politics. I mean, look at you don't have to look any further than the approval ratings for President Bush and the Democratic Congress, both of which are kind of in a political game of limbo. I mean, how low can you go? So I do think there is an audience out there for a leadership that says, look, we have to figure out ways to build broader coalitions to move forward on these problems. Now, you hear a number of candidates stressing this theme. As you mentioned, Barack Obama probably more overtly than anyone else, although certainly in different ways. John McCain, Fred Thompson, Hillary Clinton all talk about it. Where the rubber meets the road is, are you willing to take the risk of asking for some concessions from your own side as the way of building the moral credibility to ask it from the other side? Because building broad coalitions doesn't happen just by goodwill. It requires you to reach out to voters beyond those you usually worry about. And to do that, you often have to make some substantive concessions on issues like health care or energy or education. And that's what we'll see. I think that, you know, it's going to be very difficult for any candidate to truly bridge this divide as a candidate. But whoever steps into the Oval Office in 2009, I think, will have a real opportunity if they are willing to reach out beyond the interests of their own coalition.
Ron Brownstein, you write that America is deeply and closely divided, at least politically. Now, you write there have been times when the country was deeply but not closely divided, but again, deeply and closely divided.
Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, think about it. We have been in a 51-49 country for most of the Bush presidency. But because of what I call the great sorting out, the way in which each party's coalition has become more ideologically uniform, the distance between the parties has widened. And the result has been that even though the Republicans had a narrow majority in Congress, and President Bush, of course, won two razor-thin elections, the first time losing the popular vote, they governed in a manner that conceded almost nothing to the 48 or 49% that wasn't part of their coalition. So it's a very explosive combination where you have the country divided almost exactly in half, but a kind of winner-take-all politics. And I do think breaking out of that mode is going to be key. I don't think that we can – I think both in the self-interest of the parties, in terms of their own partisan interest of gaining and winning seats, but also the broader, the national interest of the country of making progress on these problems, 51-49 ultimately doesn't work as a governing strategy. Somebody has to take the risk of figuring out how to bring more interest under the tent and build solutions that we can move forward behind as a society.
We're speaking with Ron Brownstein. He's the author of The Second Civil War, How Extreme Partisanship Has Paralyzed Washington and Polarized America. And Ron Brownstein, when I'm thinking about hyperpartisanship in Washington, it seems to me that 1998 was the real climate. Well, maybe 2000, of course, after the election. But 1998, the impeachment of Bill Clinton, where we basically saw one party in power in Congress usurp the power of the executive branch. And certainly in comparison to, say, 1973-74, when Richard Nixon resigned, he looked like he was going to be impeached that time, but you had strong support on both sides of the aisle for President Nixon to go down. We didn't see that in 1998, and is that really kind of affected what's gone on since then?
Well, I agree. I think that is an absolute milestone. The forces that have brought brought us to this point of hyperpartisanship are bigger than any one party or any one politician. You know, there are big changes in the electorate, what I've called the great sorting out, and the rules in Congress, the rise of interest groups, even changes in the media. But it's been a decades-long process that has taken us from the more cooperative, consensual system in the first decades after World War II that I call in the book the Age of Bargaining to where we are today. And it, the story of the last 40 years is how we move from that to hyperpartisanship. But along that road, the decision to impeach Bill Clinton on a party line basis, I think in 1998, is an absolute milestone. Look, there's no doubt that his behavior genuinely offended lots of Republicans in Congress, but it's also true to me, I think it's clear to me, that in an earlier generation, they would not have been willing to act upon that in the way they did. In essence, they were willing to take a course of action they knew a majority of the country opposed because it was popular within their base. And this was kind of a step along the way toward this 51% solution, this vision of governing that if you maximize unity, if you hold together your own side, that will allow you to sustain power even if you generate increasing degrees of alienation among everyone else.